Quite often in the scriptures, our Lord will sprinkle in various verses that deal with heaven. We have one of those before us today from the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When you clean out your residence hall room at the end of either this semester or maybe at the end of the school year in May, you may be careful what you leave behind because it can have an impression on people. When I was about 16, I was cleaning dorms. And on the third floor of Anderson Hall, I came into this room, and I can still see the image in my mind. There was a poster that somebody had left in their room, and it had the face, the huge face of a demon on it. And on the poster it said, "Read your Bible. It'll scare the hell out of you." When I was in seminary, I heard a sermon on hell, preached by my pastor, Reverend Richard Newgard. Probably the best sermon I've ever heard him preach. I used to kid him about that years later. Best sermon I ever heard you preach was on hell. But he made such a point, first of all, describing from Scripture what it's really like, and then going on about how we need to make sure never to find this out, and how important our faith in Christ truly is to spare us from all of that. Imagine if you could use an illustration about your life and the length of your life. Let's say that we took a tape measure out and had it start with your conception, and then for every year of your life, measure it by a quarter inch. So on that tape measure, as it's pulled out, just a quarter inch measures every year of your life. And imagine if, as to how old you are right now, you spray painted up to that mark of how old you are. And then imagine if God were to come along with another can of spray paint and show you the next segment of your life until you die, how long that might be. Something we don't know yet, of course. But then to realize that tape just continues to go on and on and on and on into eternity. It's interesting how focused we can become on what's going on right now in these little quarter inches of our life. So important, and it is. It is. God has a lot to say and care about this life you're living right now, of course, and the years that he might grant you in this world after this. But he also wants us to keep in perspective just how far that tape measure actually stretches. that it goes off into eternity. It's a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes that says this: God has placed eternity in men's hearts. The Hebrew word there is also a word that gets used for planting seeds. You could translate it this way, and some translations have it this way: God has planted eternity in men's hearts. That's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? That down inside of your heart and soul, there's this sense, even in atheists, there's a sense that there's something that just keeps going, that there's something beyond this life that just keeps going. And God has planted that seed of eternity in your heart. So what's the perfect age? When you look at your life and that tape measure, what's the perfect age? What either is or has been or will be the perfect stage or era of your life? Where is the place in your life where things are going to feel and seem, and you will experience what you might expect in this world to be about as good as it's ever going to get, about as perfect as it's ever going to get? No matter what that is, if you've experienced it already or you're in it now, or if you think you're going to have it in a few years, and wherever that moment or time is in your life, understand that no matter what it is you're using to describe for yourselves how great something is, there's still so much that's lacking. 30 years ago this week, in 1987, the number one hit song in the United States was by somebody who had just broken out in a solo career from the Go-Go's. Her name was Belinda Carlisle, and the name of the song was "Heaven is a Place on Earth." Heaven is a place on earth. You've maybe heard that song. I'll just read you a few things described about Belinda Carlisle's own personal life since that time. Her family had to move to Europe because of an earthquake. She personally struggles with a serious addiction to cocaine, LSD, and alcohol. She suffers from an eating disorder, has had to be hospitalized for that. She has suffered audio hallucinations, and she is presently alienated from her entire family. You think heaven's a place on earth? You think heaven is going to ever be so great here in this world? Think you could ever describe a time in your life when things are going to be so right and so good? Think of the fame and the money and everything that she had with her success. Heaven's a place on earth. What a joke. What an absolute joke. Listen to what a theologian from the 1600s says, a gentleman by the name of Johann Gerhard. He says this for us: "Let your desires ascend to that blessed place where there is perpetual youth, without the infirmities of old age, where life shall nevermore be followed by death." If beauty, if being attractive, is something that really matters to you, just imagine in heaven, we're told that the righteous shall shine as the sun. If you long to have a long and lengthy life and a healthy life, just imagine what heaven must be like with eternal, ongoing health. If the beauty of music is something that really captures your heart here in this world, which is so easy to have it do, just think what it must be like to listen to the angelic choirs in heaven, singing before the throne of God. If the beauty of architecture captures your eye, think what the city of God must actually look like in the mansions above. If being wise and full of knowledge is something that is something you really seek and desire in this world, imagine being in heaven where the infinite wisdom of God is revealed to all of us who believe in Christ. If having good friends and appreciating friendships is something that really captures your heart in this world, just imagine being in heaven where we have complete personal closeness with the Almighty God and all of his saints. If Christian unity, being together with fellow Christians, is something that really makes you excited and happy, just think what it's going to be like in heaven when all the believers from all nations have perfect harmony and unity in all things. If here in this life you are frustrated with yourself and your own sins, just imagine what it'll be like to get to know you in heaven without any evil in you, without any sin, not even a thought, because your Savior has given you that home. If honor and riches is something that attracts your heart here in this world, just think what it's going to be like in heaven, where God will make his saints rulers of all things, we are told. So what's that going to be like when we arrive in heaven with all the fellow believers in our Savior? Isaiah says, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast, for all peoples, for all nations. Jesus says, many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Right now there's a veil that hangs over the earth that forbids us from seeing exactly who the true believers are. We can't pierce beneath that veil to see where the true faith is. But on that day, that veil will be lifted, and it will be known to all of us, exactly all of those who maybe we lived right in the neighborhood with them. Maybe we saw them in the stores. Maybe we drove past them on the highways. People that we ran into, and we had no idea that they likewise loved their Savior, and because of that, would now be in heaven. So, do you have a desire in your heart to get to heaven? I hope so. Because without that, you really can't be a Christian. Now, there are times when maybe it's stronger and weaker in our minds and thinking, but that desire needs to be there for us. In fact, one of the church fathers said this, "You are not a true bride if you do not desire the coming of the bridegroom." Imagine this, that the one true source of all real goodness in all existence is God himself, the creator of all that is beautiful and good and wonderful. And he wants you to get to live like that forever. And that's why he's taken steps to send his son to die for you and rise for you. That's why he has sent his spirit into your hearts. That's why he's given you this tiny little thing we can't find with a microscope called faith in Christ. And it's that precious little thing that even a little child can have. It's that precious little thing of faith that links you to all of that I've described. We better take care of that. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, that he may lead home his bride, the church, that we, with all your saints, may enter into your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.